This morning we're concluding our Lost World series by looking one last time at Enoch. As you're turning not to Genesis 4 and 5, but to Hebrews chapter 11, because that's where we get the best picture of Enoch of all, as you're turning there, I want to talk to you about walking with God, because God has made the greatest offer that's ever been made to each of us when He offered to us the privilege of walking with Him. God created us to walk with Him. God gave us the manual of how to walk with Him. God came down in human flesh to pay the price, to open the door so we could walk with Him. God sent His Spirit to indwell within each of us, to give us the power to walk with Him. The question this morning is, are you walking with God? Walking with God is not exclusively the right of the Enochs of this world who are legendary. Walking with God is the privilege and the responsibility of all of God's children. But God will only be walked with by faith. And if you want to walk with God, you must walk with Him by faith. His way coming to Him, pleasing to Him by faith. That's what we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 11. Because the question this morning is, are we taking advantage of the greatest offer ever made? You and I were created to walk with God. And He offers to each of us this morning that privilege and that joy of walking side by side with Him all the way through life. What in all the universe could be greater than that? But the question for us is, are we doing it? We have been offered a lifelong walk with God toward our heavenly home. We have been told we are citizens of a faraway country, but we can take steps every day heavenward. Are we? Do we long for our city that has foundations? Do we expectantly anticipate that city which God has built for us? Do we long for a home that can never be shaken, quaked, burned, flooded, or taken away? Walking with God prepares us one step at a time for heaven. Well, the good news of God's word this morning is that wherever we are in life, however close we are to God or distant from God, we can begin walking with God. And that's the best news I know of, and it's exactly what we will see in God's word. Before we read Hebrews 11, I want to share with you what a pastor said, in his name was J.C. Ryle, and he said this. He lived at the same time as Abraham Lincoln. So this is what, if you were alive in the Civil War in England, this is what you would have heard as Bishop Ryle came forward to speak to his congregation on this text. And I think it is monumental what he says. He was answering the question, how do we walk with God? I think we all have the same question. In fact, last week, after I got done with walking with God, I love overhearing people in the hallways, and someone said, oh, I could never do that. Really? If God says we are to do it, and if God says I'm giving you all grace to do it, you mean you don't want it, is what you were saying. Not, I couldn't. It's only I don't want to, because God says, how do you walk with me? It's by faith I make it available. Listen to what Ryle said. I believe we're all too apt to err on this point. We think too much and talk too much about graces and gifts and attainments, but do not sufficiently remember, here's his theme, that faith is the root and mother of them all. In walking with God, a man will go just as far as he believes, and no further. His life will always be proportioned to his faith. His peace, his patience, his courage, his zeal, his works, all will be according to faith. You read of the lives of great Christians such as Wesley or Whitfield or Moody or Spurgeon or Hudson Taylor or any of the galaxies of other great saints who have gone before us, and you are disposed to say, what wonderful gifts and graces these men had. I answer you that you should rather give honor to the Mother of Grace, which God puts forward in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, where we're going to look this morning. And you should give honor to their faith. Depend on it. Faith was always the mainspring in the character of each biblical and every saint since's lives. They, as some would fancy to say, were just prayerful. That's what made them what they were. I answer, why did they pray much? Simply because they had much faith. What is prayer but faith speaking to God? Another might say, they were so diligent, they were laborious, that accounts for their success. Ryle says, I answer, why were they so diligent? simply because they had faith. What is Christian diligence but faith at work? See, he just keeps bringing it back to faith. Another will say, they were so bold, that rendered them useful. I answer, why were they so bold? Simply because they had much faith. What is Christian boldness but faith honestly doing its duty? God says, speak for me. I believe him. I go out and do it. And I'm bold because his Spirit empowers me. Another will cry, it was their holiness and spirituality that gave them their weight. For the last time I answer, what made them holy? Nothing but a living realization, the Spirit of faith. What is holiness but faith visible and faith incarnate? If you would be like Enoch, making it clear as noonday that you have chosen God before the world, what does Christ ask of you? Would you bring forth an abundance of fruit? Do you want to be eminently holy and useful? I dare to be sure that every believer would reply with a resounding yes, this is my desire. Then take the advice I give you this morning. Go and cry to the Lord Jesus as the disciples did. Lord, increase our faith. That's what he asked us to do. Faith is the root of a real Christian character. Let your root be right and your fruit will soon abound. Your spiritual prosperity will always be according to your faith. He that believes shall not only be saved, but shall never thirst, shall always overcome, shall be greatly established, shall always walk firmly on the waters of this world, and shall do great works for God. Reader, if you believe the things contained in the book you hold in your hands, if you desire to be a thoroughly holy man or woman or young person, begin to act on your belief. Take Enoch for your example, walk in his steps, go and do likewise, and walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read together the first six verses. And let us stand before our God as we in our heart say, I want to walk with you, O God, by faith. Hebrews 11. Follow along as I read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, you have created us for thyself. You want to walk with us and talk with us. You want to tell us that we are your very own special treasures that you have purchased for your own glorious name. You want us to be walking by faith. You want us to be like Enoch, walking every day through our lives with you. I pray for some who feel very cold and very far, very defiled and very distant from you, O God. May they realize that walking with you is as close as their heart of hearts, reaching out to you by faith and saying, yes, Lord, I want your way, not my way. They have not walked with you because they have walked their own path. Today they can begin to walk your path. I pray for those who are walking with you but are not aware of how far they can walk. May they, even this moment as we stand before you, look up and say, Lord, increase my faith. There is no habit, there is no guilt, there is no bitterness, there is no burden, there is no sin that has gripped any of us that your grace which we appropriate by faith, is not able to conquer, to subdue, and to cleanse away. O Lord, I pray that we would walk with you by faith, like Enoch, and be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to remind you that before we go very far into this topic, I want to define what walking with God is. Basically, if we interviewed all the characters of the Bible, the ones at least that in the pages of God's Word have testified that they walked with God, and if we interviewed them and collectively were able to take a composite answer from them, this would be what we would get. Because the definition of walking with God is habitual communion with Him. A habit. Have you ever noticed someone that has a habit that they do it while they're doing other things? It's just a part of their life. I was talking to someone this week, and while they were talking and swinging their hands, they were able to pull out a pack of cigarettes. They never stopped. They whipped one out. It came out without them even looking. They got it in the side of their mouth. They never stopped talking. They were able to light it without burning their nose. They put away the lighter. They put away the pack, and they blew smoke in my face, and I don't even think they knew that they were doing it. It was totally a habit. They could do it in the dark. Habits are something we don't need to think about. Habits are things that we respond to without planning or thinking. But they are chosen. Enoch chose to walk with God. It was a communion with God by habit. It was something he did reflexively. It's something he did habitually. It's something he did because it was a learned pattern of appropriating God's grace. But if we interviewed Enoch and all the rest and said, what is this walking with God? They would say, number one, walking with God for us was a sense of God's presence, a belief that God is, that God notices us, and that God is aware of where we are and what we do at all times. I think it's fascinating. I sit a lot, and I know I shouldn't do this, but I sit, and often I have the antenna of my cell phone when I'm driving and I'm thinking and I'm between calls. I put that antenna in my mouth and I think so much about the fact that right out of the top of that antenna, just sticks up about an inch, there is a constant electromagnetic signal going. Do you know how I know that? Because on the side of my cell phone, I see the tower that shows how close I am. You know, it shows me whether I'm in lots of range or if I'm far from a tower and I don't have a good connection. And so that means that my little antenna is always looking and communicating with the nearest cell tower. And I shouldn't put it in my mouth because it's making electromagnetic stuff go through my brain. I don't have very much to work with to start with, and I don't want to hurt it with some more stuff going through it, radiation. But you know what I think about with that cell phone? I think about that cell phone is always sensing the presence of a cell tower. That's all it's looking for. It's just looking out there for it. In fact, there's new software, and when it breaks, it's going to make someone wealthy. They're going to now be able to track where every cell phone is in the country. Because just as much as that cell phone's looking for the tower can chart where that cell phone is. And when that gets done, it's going to be a phenomenal thing that you won't just be able to talk to people, you'll be able to know just where they are just by that antenna. Well, you have an antenna right now. Walking with God is putting your antenna up. Say, God, notice me. You're aware of where I am. You know what I'm doing all the time. I believe in you. I mean, if I could look at your spiritual read out on the screen of your cell to God, would your power be all the way up? Are you close to Him? Are you acknowledging that He is listening and watching? Secondly, walking with God, if we were to interview all the great saints of the past in the Word of God, they would testify that walking with God for us was a sense of His favor constantly in our lives, a conviction that He is reconciled to us and that He loves us. You see, they didn't have guilt, and they didn't have fear, and they didn't have oppression. They knew that God, through the sacrifice of Christ, had accepted them, had cleansed them, had made them brand new. Thirdly, walking with God, they would testify for us, was a lifelong looking to Him in our inward and outward conduct. You know why some of you can't walk with God? Because you only want to walk with Him on Sunday. God says, you can't just walk with me on Sunday. Some of you just want to walk with Him on Sunday morning. Some of you don't even walk with Him anytime, and you wonder why you don't have any of His favor. God wants you to let Him invade all of your life. He wants to invade your family life, your personal life, your secret life, your thought life, your business life, your financial life. He wants to invade your recreation life, what you do in your amusements. That's means alpha privative. When you're not meditating, when you're not thinking, when you just are doing whatever you want to do without even thinking about it, he wants to invade that. And he wants to be a part of your inward and outward conduct. He wants to have an outgoing of your heart and thoughts toward him in prayer. He is waiting for the signal. He wants thanksgiving and love and reverence and confidence. And he wants the consequent desire and effort that you have to accommodate to his will. He wants you to say, not only, oh, Lord, I want to be in touch with you, but you want to take the incoming calls from him. And you want to take those calls when he communicates through this book. And you want to say, not my will, but your will be done. And this is your revealed will. I want to obey it. See, that's what walking with God is. Walking with God is by faith saying, God, I know you've revealed how you want me to walk, and I want to please you. What did we learn as children? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our path. When we do his good will, he abides with us still when we trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's the only way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. What is walking with God? Trusting him enough to believe him, that he has revealed what he wants, and then obeying what he said. That's walking with God by faith. Well, in our interview of the great saints of the past, finally, the definition of walking with God is habitual communion with him in a fourth way. Not only a sense of his presence, not only a sense of his favor, not only a lifelong looking to him and his word, but finally, they would say walking with God for us was a habit of listening to God by the believing reception of his communication to us. God dwells with his people. He manifests himself to them as he does not to the world. He reveals to them his glory. He sheds abroad his love in their hearts. And he, by his Spirit, brings his word and promises to mind. And thus he maintains a constant communion between himself and the souls in whom he dwells. What does that mean? It means it's a lifelong relationship. Christianity is not a set of rules. We didn't get a sheet, you know, like our annual report, and we walk around and we keep checking, you know, to make sure we're keeping the rules. It is a relationship. It's walking with God every day. How do we do that? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Because if we piece together the fragments that God has inspired and breathed out in Hebrews 11, we can discern from Enoch's walk the secrets that helped him begin to walk with God and continued him on this path. And we're just going to sketch these this morning before communion. Number one, Enoch believed God. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11, the first part of it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Number one. And if you just want to circle that, just take your pen out and put, believe him. Enoch believed God. I mean, that was the beginning of his walk with God. And I'll tell you this morning, if you want to walk with God, it will only start there. Enoch believed God. That's it, period. I like this. And one author, in fact, J.B. Phillips is his name, wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. And he describes some of the common gods people manufacture. See, it says that in verse 6, Enoch believed God. You know, a lot of people believe in a God that they have conjured up. This is what Phillips was writing about. He says, one God people believe in is the grand old man God. He's the grandfatherly, white-haired, indulgent God who smiles down on men and winks at their adultery, their stealing, their cheating, and their lying. Now that's the comfortable God. He's kind of never gets out of his rocking chair, and he's kind of smiling and saying, oh, whatever you do is okay with me. That's not God. Another God is the resident policeman God. His primary job is to make life difficult and unenjoyable, and that's what some people think of God. And then they have their God in a box. That's the private, exclusive, sectarian God who they're the only ones that have him. And then others have conjured up the managing director God. He's the God of the deists, like Thomas Jefferson. He designed and created the universe. He spun it off, and now he stands far away and kind of is playing golf and has other things to do right now, and it's just going to run down. But this and many others, God is not pleased with these substitutes. If you have push God out to be the grandfather somewhere, or he's the policeman that's always ruining your life, or he's this indulgent, distant golf-playing God, you don't know God because you don't have a relationship with him. And God is not pleased with any idolatrous substitutes. He wants to be known as the God who made everything from nothing. And his fingerprints as the all-powerful creator abound. And I'm just dying to go into this, but we can't. But God's fingerprints are on every layer of this created universe. His fingerprints are all over him. He made everything from nothing. And therefore, his creative handprint surrounds everything he formed. Secondly, though, it tells us in the scriptures in verse 5 that Enoch was taken away so he would not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken away, he had this testimony. He had a testimony. What was his testimony? Well, I want you to just use your sanctified imaginations. When it says that Enoch walked with God, it means that Enoch was following the pathway that God had laid out. Walking with God does not mean pulling him along with me through life and saying, come on, stay with me. It's following where he's going. So the second truth that I get out of verse 5 is that Enoch, number one, not only believed God, but Enoch followed God. Followed. Have you ever had someone say, I'll follow you, and then they pass you on the highway? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had someone say, I'll follow you, and they're gone? I mean, I'm glad for cell phones, right? You call them, you say, where are you now? You know, they're far away. Remember those 48 words in Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24 we read last week that describe Enoch. It says that he was well-pleasing to God. Why? Well, this is the great point about his life. Enoch lived in a dark and hostile day that was totally unfriendly to his faith. His faith in the Lord, and life was so inhospitable that finally in the time of Noah, God destroyed the whole planet. And yet, Enoch followed God instead of the world, followed God his whole life. He walked side by side in agreement with God. Now, you can't say it's hard for you nowadays. There's too many temptations and too many evils and too many distractions. The world, it says, was so filled with evil that it says this in Genesis 6, 5. The earth was corrupt, verse 11 of Genesis 6. The earth was corrupt in God's sight, was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become. For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. That's God's assessment. By the way, God gets every channel. You know, all these new advertisements on the radio about Dish. You know, you can get 500 channels. God gets 6 billion or 7 or however many living immortal souls are on this planet. He gets every signal. And God was looking at every signal, and this is what he said. The earth was totally corrupt in all of its ways. Every person. Well, Enoch resisted the sinful gravity of his culture. Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God over 300 years, and he set his sights on God's city. He wanted to be where God was, in God's place. He walked God's path. He walked his steps at God's pace, striding in step with God. And for 300 years, he faithfully walked with God. The question for us this morning is, do we believe God like Enoch did? Because we can walk by faith. God has laid out some conditions for walking with him by faith. Number one is reconciliation, and it's only through the blood of Christ that we can even come. We're under God's wrath and his curse, and there can be no communion with God until we're reconciled, and there's no reconciliation except through his blood. You see, God is our enemy. He is at war with us because of our sin. And the only way we can be reconciled to him is through the peace offering, the blood of Jesus Christ. Secondly is regeneration. That is that he has to give us a new heart and he has to implant his spirit And he must commence energizing us, the Spirit of God. And without holiness, the scriptures say, no one can have fellowship with God. And unless we're renewed in our minds to desire and to delight in God, we can't have fellowship with him. And our minds were darkened and dead in trespasses and sin. And so we walk with God by reconciliation. We walk with God by saying, I come. O Lamb of God, I come through your sacrifice. And then it's through regeneration. He gives us a brand new operating system. He gives us a new heart, a new spirit, as Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 say. And then we continue walking with God, finally through renewal. Reconciliation, that's the war ending between us and God. Regeneration, that's the new heart. Renewal, that's keeping our conscience free from guilt, our mind from pollution. God will not come into our heart when it's unholy in its affections and deliberately we cherish sin. When we have pride and malice and envy and jealousy and all uncleanness, we must banish them by faith so that the graces of the Spirit of God may be kept alive and exercising within us. We must appropriate God's grace if we're to walk with God. Let me just show you about four passages. Romans 6:4, back up to Romans. Romans 6:4 says, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Romans 6:4, here's the key, even so we also should what? Walk. See, this is walking with God. Walking with God is being saved. That means being reconciled to God. Walking with God is being regenerated. That is having a new heart and a new spirit. And our eyes being open and being turned from liking darkness to loving the light. But how do we keep that up? It's only as we walk by faith. Now look at the two books to the right, 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It's only when we trust in the fact we are reconciled to God. The war is over. The enmity is past. He is no longer our enemy. We are regenerated. We do have a new heart. We do have a new spirit. He has given us his spirit. We believe that. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And this is where we're going to end. Because this is what Enoch learned. When he was reconciled and regenerated, he learned about the renewing of God's Spirit every day. And this is what God says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You say, wait a minute, how do you know Enoch had that? Well, Enoch could not walk with God unless he had had a new birth, unless he was regenerated, because he couldn't have even responded to God if he was dead in his sin. So Enoch had a new birth. He was regenerated. Enoch had a new relationship with God. He was reconciled. Enoch had a new standing with God. He had been justified by his faith in the sacrifice that Christ provided. Enoch had a new walk. He was surrendered to God. And that walk caused him, look at verse 8, to have all God's grace abound toward him. So that you, look at verse 8, always having all sufficiency in all things might have an abundance for every good work. How did he make it walking through a sin-darkened world? His little antenna was up. It was sticking up. And the tower had a clear signal to him. And coming into his life was a strong, gracious signal of God. And God was making all grace abound so that he could walk through a sin-darkened world. A world where every imagination of every person around him was only filthy. And he stayed in step with God through life. You know what he's a picture of? What God wants you and me to do today.